tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhan's the gal who cares for the caregiver.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Thank God it's Friday!
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Rockin' all week with you. This day is ours.
You be mine.
This day is ours.
Please be mine. Hello, sunshine. Goodbye, rain. She's wearing my school ring on chain. She's my steady, I'm her man. I'm gonna love her all I can.
Oh yeah, remember Happy Days? The Fonz? Oh my goodness. And what was the guy that played the lead? I can't even remember his name now.
Richie Cunningham.
Yeah! Little Richie Cunningham, who was on the show with... oh, wait. Going way, way back with... was his name? Andy Mayberry, the Andy Griffith Show. Come on.
Opie Taylor.
Yeah. Okay, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my savior today, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday, June the 12th. My printer broke down. Dad, after 11 years, Ed, and thanks to him, Ed...
So a proper burial is in order.
Yes, in fact.
You know, the technology's changed a bit in 11 years, so your new one might be a little faster.
It probably is. It's a new one that I'm going to get. I haven't got it yet, but it's a laser printer I'm going to get. But this one served me very well for 11 years, and it died. I did everything. Took it to a guy, you know, a specialist. He said, this thing is dead. Forget it. Forget it. So anyway, Ed bailed me out with his printer. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jay Schweikert of the Cato Institute about qualified immunity for policemen during confrontations. Should they get that? Should they get that? It's going to be a very, very interesting discussion, I promise you. So stay tuned for it. And while the after effects of the rioting continue, Americans continue to dehibernate from the virus. So we're going to talk about all of that with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi. Are we on our way back, or are we taking two steps backwards? We'll find out. Hey, and you bald-headed guys, you baldies, you got more to worry about during the pandemic. Yes, you do. And we're going to tell you why, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate Top 10. We've been doing top 10 different kinds of movie genres, and why not go for the ones that I always found as a kid to be really attracted to? The top 10 greatest horror films of all time. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They are open and ready for you. You guys, you baldies too, by the way. You got fringe hair. Got to get that taken care of. But call Nicole for your appointment. You'll dial 727-733-3773. As you remember, you've got to make appointments for barbershops right now. So it's 727-733-3773. By the way, Big Ed not only provides printing, he also provides podcasts for us. Go to ourfreedomworks.com, and he will have put our show up there so that you can listen to it anytime. ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Boy, oh boy. What is going on in Seattle, Washington? I'm glad I don't live there. I've been to the city. It's a beautiful city. And if you do not know, it is called the Emerald City. But about 6 square blocks are totally in chaos. They have been taken over by demonstrators. There is no police protection. And this is in the downtown area. It's kind of scary. I guess you could call it an experiment, could you not? With no police there? So now you've got all of these protesters that are congregating there. And they're writing their own laws, or not writing them, but creating their own laws. Anyway, President Trump has announced that he is going to take some steps to reduce racial inequality and combat police brutality. Now, he made this statement during a trip to Texas yesterday. And, of course, they come after the protests over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And now there are these huge calls to, by many of these protesters and others, to defund police departments. Well, Trump doesn't want any part of that, as you can imagine. So he promised to take steps to increase economic opportunity in black in minority communities. He said he would address the health care disparities faced by the black communities. He said he would lobby Congress to enact school choice, which I do agree with, for anybody, but especially for those that don't have the funds to send their children to a prestigious school where they might be educated better. So school choice. And sign an executive order calling on police to adhere to the most current standards on the use of force. Here's the only thing about all of that. The police are not run by the federal government. They are run by local communities, cities, in some cases, you know, counties, right? There are even state police. So they have jurisdictions. And they have to follow the jurisdictions of their environment. So I'm a little bit concerned about the president all of a sudden, you know, waving a magic wand across the terrain and saying, here we go. This is what you all will do. And I think sometimes Donald Trump seems to forget that he does not run by, you know, a monarchy. And he has to, I guess, accede is the word, to the state governments and to, in some cases, the mayors of the cities that oversee these police departments. Not to talk with them. That's another thing. To suggest, that's another thing. Those are good. To promote, that's another thing. Those are good. But to demand, you have to be careful. Take a look at the Constitution. It has not empowered the federal government as much as it empowered the state, local, and people themselves governments, you might say. The federal government, the whole purpose of our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the war was to get out from under a tyrannical rule by one or fewer people, you know, by a handful of people. So that's why they were so obsessed with releasing the power from the top and allowing the states, each state, to run their own situation. And the federal government would only intercede when the states themselves could not do the job, right? That was the purpose of it. And right now, the governors and the mayors, under them, are charged with taking care of what is going on in their environment. Right now in Seattle, I don't know that the mayor is doing much of taking care the way the city itself is going, but that is another story. All right, we will take our break. When we come back, Jay Schweikert will talk to us about police qualified immunity.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
Come we are back on a Friday morning, and thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And delighted to have Jay Schweikert, who is a policy analyst with the Cato Institute's Project on Criminal Justice. And the Supreme Court is considering challenges to qualified immunity for policemen. And a very timely subject right now, Jay. Thank you for joining us. Tell us, first of all, if you would, what do they mean by qualified immunity?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Sure.
So qualified immunity is a judicial doctrine that was invented by the Supreme Court. And what it does is it shields public officials, including members of law enforcement, from liability for their misconduct, even in cases where a court finds that they have violated someone's constitutional rights. To understand qualified immunity, you really have to understand our main federal civil rights statute, which we normally call Section 1983 after its place in the U.S. Code. This statute says that any state actor who violates someone's constitutional rights shall be liable to the party injured. It's a very basic, your rights are violated, you get a remedy statute that allows all citizens, or was meant to allow all citizens, to vindicate violations of their rights. But what the Supreme Court did is effectively rewrite the statute to say it's not enough to show that your rights are violated. You have to show that the state or local officials violated clearly established law. And that phrase, clearly established law, is the key feature of qualified immunity, because in practice, what it means is that plaintiffs have to find a prior case already decided in their jurisdiction where someone else's rights were violated in basically the same way. So it's a very fact-specific standard that means that whether you can get redress for violations of your constitutional rights turns on the happenstance of what cases have already been decided wherever you live. So so the Supreme Court, in effect, has rewritten this statute in a way that dramatically undermines both its deterrent and remedial purposes.
Right. Now, Cato has been on the fight, calling for police accountability for a long time, and leading the fight, I guess you might say, to abolish qualified immunity itself. We're looking right now, of course, with what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis and the fact that the police officers were involved in taking him down and then the kneeing, and it's clearly a case of horror. What happened was horrible. But sometimes in these protests, with all of these people running around and throwing bricks and the like, and police there on the other side, they will push back, will they not? We've got this one situation you may know about. I think it was a 75-year-old protester. And he approached this phalanx of police that were walking forward, and he was pushed back, and he fell down. I think he hit the back of his head. He was bleeding. Now, would, in your definition of qualified immunity, would that policeman that pushed him, would that policeman be under a qualified immunity situation, and should Should he be held accountable for it?
He should certainly be held accountable, and I'm certainly aware of the instance that you're talking about. And I think what makes it even more egregious is, you know, is the fact that, you know, the officers who pushed him and all the other officers ignored him as he lay bleeding on the ground, and then subsequently lied and said that this guy tripped. So if we didn't have the video footage, we might not have known about it. So he certainly should be held accountable. But whether he would get qualified immunity is hard to say, because it would turn on whether geographically.
I think it was New York, but don't hold me.
If it was in New York, then it would turn on whether there were Second Circuit cases that the federal appellate court that oversees cases from New York that involved similar facts, like police pushing someone unnecessarily in a way that caused them to trip and fall backwards and suffer injuries and then ignoring them. I mean, I obviously don't know whether there's any case with exactly those facts. But if he wanted to bring a civil rights suit against the officers who did that to him, he would have to hunt and peck through Second Circuit case law to try to find a case with basically those exact facts. And if he can't, if those cases aren't out there, then he'll probably be out of luck. Because that's the way that courts apply this clearly established law standard, which governs qualified immunity today.
We're talking.
So it means that even egregious, and I just to clarify one more thing.
Sure, please.
Actually is especially perverse about that is that in some ways, the more egregious the misconduct is, the more likely the police are to get qualified immunity, precisely because those outrageous cases may not have come up before, right? They'll be relatively rarer. So it's even on its own terms, it's kind of get things exactly backwards and may end up, it may sometimes be easier to overcome it for more run-of-the-mill misconduct where there's a lot of cases with similar facts, but for the more extreme misconduct, it can actually be harder to overcome it.
Sure. We're talking with Jay Schweikert. He is a policy analyst with the great Cato Institute. We're talking about qualified immunity, and of course, Jay, it doesn't just apply to police.
Right.
Qualified immunity applies to a host of different groups. But I want to.
It applies to all state and local, all public officials.
All public officials.
Anyone acting under the color of state law.
Sure. We're kind of focusing in on police, obviously, because of what has been going on around the country. Do you think, Jay, that if this qualified immunity was taken away, do you think police would be a little bit more reluctant to enforce the law, say, in these situations of, confrontation? Because of what might happen to them. I'm just, I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit.
Sure.
But really, I'm worried about it. I mean, somebody accosts a policeman. Let me give you an example. Someone comes after a policeman with, say, a knife or a gun. And their scuffle involves. And down they both go. Well, if I'm that policeman, and this guy's got a knife on me, I'll do whatever it takes to stop him, including, quite frankly, putting my knee on his neck. So there are, there are situations that perhaps call for certain kinds of actions that in other cases would not. But I just wanted you to comment on how would a policeman feel about these things without qualified immunity?
Sure. So I think that the concern in the abstract is a reasonable one, and I think there are some folks who in good faith are worried about deterring police from doing their jobs. But I think that actually rests on a misunderstanding of what qualified immunity is and when it applies, because of course police have to make difficult on-the-spot decisions under dangerous, uncertain circumstances, and obviously force is off is necessary. Our substantive standards for determining what counts as a constitutional violation in the first place already incorporate a lot of deference to on-the-spot police decision-making, right? So the mere fact that a police officer ends up, using force that, with the benefit of hindsight, may not have been necessary, or arrests a suspect that turns out to have been innocent, isn't unlawful in the first place. The touchstone of the Fourth Amendment is reasonableness. And if a police officer is making a decision about use of force or about an arrest or about a detention that is reasonable under the circumstances, they have not broken the law, period. So you don't need qualified immunity to protect police officers in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
Qualified immunity only comes into play if an officer has acted objectively unreasonably, like what we saw in the instance of Derek Chauvin and George Floyd. So it's a kind of qualified immunity is a kind of double counting of that deference. Courts are already quite deferential to the way police have to make these difficult decisions on the spot, and barring objectively unreasonable misconduct, they're not going to be found liable at all, even if we got rid of qualified immunity tomorrow.
Okay, but if we get rid of it, all of a sudden I can see all kinds of suits against police departments and the cost of defending these police, which means, therefore, that the community taxes go rocketing up. I mean, you have to be very careful about this kind of thing. You know that there are going to be people that try to take advantage of this.
Well, so I think that is it reflects a little bit of a misunderstanding of when qualified immunity matters, because if you're willing to stipulate, you know, frivolous or bad faith litigation against police officers, well, that can happen right now. I mean, there's nothing, qualified immunity doesn't prevent you from suing the police in the first place, and even if you bring an entirely frivolous lawsuit, they, you know, may still have to, you know, There's still maybe costs involved in defending against that lawsuit. Again, qualified immunity only matters in that gap between you have a meritorious claim. Your rights were violated, but there's not a case with similar facts already on the book, so it's not clearly established. It's that gap where qualified immunity is doing the work. So I am certainly sympathetic to concerns about, you know, taxpayers funding police judgments. One idea that we've actually developed at the Cato Institute that we think could address this in conjunction with eliminating qualified immunity would be taking the money that we currently spend to fund those judgments and those lawsuits and instead put it toward an insurance allowance for individual officers to maintain liability insurance, the same way that doctors and lawyers maintain liability insurance. That I think would be a more market-based way of funding, of providing funds to defend against these lawsuits and to cover any judgments, while simultaneously using risk assessment to price out of the market that small portion of police officers who routinely commit misconduct because their premiums would go up. So I think that it's an important question about how we're funding these judgments and making sure that the burden doesn't fall entirely on taxpayers. But I think that those policy reforms go hand in hand with eliminating qualified immunity rather than in opposition to it.
Right. So now the Supreme Court's going to take a look, apparently, at 10 different qualified immunity petitions. When is this scheduled to be done? Could you give us a little timetable and maybe a thought about how the Supreme Court might decide?
The timing here is really an interesting part of the story itself, because we have, for the last over 2 years now, Cato has been trying to encourage the Supreme Court to hear a case calling for qualified immunity to be reconsidered. And there are several petitions currently before the court raising exactly that question. But some of them have been fully briefed and ready for consideration since last October. One of these cases has already been rescheduled 10 times. And what we've seen over the last basically month and a half is the court will put all of these major qualified immunity cases, it will send them to conference on the same day. That's where the Supreme Court decides which cases it wants to hear. But then we don't get an announcement about it. They just keep delaying it. So the most recent action here is these cases did all go to conference yesterday. The justices met to discuss which cases they want to hear, and we will be getting orders from that conference on Monday morning. So we could learn then whether the court will grant or deny these cases, but it's also possible that they just continue rescheduling them, because that's sort of been their pattern now for about 6 weeks in a row.
Frustrating, very frustrating.
Indeed.
Oh, wow. Jay, it's a pleasure to talk with you about this. This is such an interesting and important topic. Thank you so very much. Hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Jay Schweikert, Cato Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break when we come back. Americans continuing to dehibernate from the virus. The after effects with the rioting continue. Going to talk about all of that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
just to try to earn a dollar. Every time I call my baby, try to get a date, my boss says,
no dice, son, you gotta work late.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Friday. Wow, thank goodness it's Friday. Of course, if you're not going out because you're hibernating because of the virus, what difference does it make? All the days run together. By the way, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said yesterday the U.S. should not shut down the economy again, even if there's another wave of the pandemic. He said, Americans have learned that if you shut down the economy, you're going to create more damage. So Andrew, the master barber, you're up and running again. If there is a little bit of a surge, and I've heard that there has been one, do we just keep going forward on this? What do you think?
Well, you know, Paul, the surge came right after Trump announced he was going to start doing his rallies again. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I think it might have been around the same time, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, how does that occur? How do you connect them?
Well, Trump said he's going to have his rally. Okay, they already said, how can he do that? There are going to be all these people in this arena, and this virus is going on. Matter of fact, Fucci even made an appearance the day after he said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul, no matter what Trump does, okay, there's a spike in this, there's a spike in that. We're not going to close down the economy. We got to be stupid if we do. People got to wash their hands and be careful of what they're doing, just like every other flu
right.
season.
And I think that's exactly right. I think it makes a great deal of sense. You know, go ahead.
You know, I was listening to the show earlier, and you were talking about, you know, the local government's taking care of their problems, and Trump is stepping in to do this and do that. He's exceeding it. You know what, Paul? I myself, if I was Trump, wouldn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I would just sit there and let them worry about their food supply coming in this little area. And as a matter of fact, I would do what the politicians were threatening to do to the business people that were opening their businesses during the pandemic. Do you remember them saying we're going to shut off their electricity and water?
Yeah, there's been some crazy statements that were made.
Okay, I mean, you were going to do that to the people trying to make a living. Why don't you do this to these morons trying to take over a city?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they were begging for vegan food yesterday. They don't have too much food to eat. You know what? The businesses in this area, are they opening? Who knows? The mayor, is she handling it good? No. These people are totally incompetent that are running this state. And if, you know, I would tell the president, hey, man, go do something. But you know what? Everybody will condemn him for doing this, overstepping this. But I say let the place rot.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't when you're the president. I guess my thought was kind of the Constitution's always tried to allow the states and the people themselves to get as much liberty as possible.
Well, you know, Paul, the Constitution, when it was written, I don't think the people were as dumb as they are today.
Yeah, I hope not.
Okay.
I think the
people who wrote the Constitution were pretty smart. They were pretty young, if you think about it. These people were in their 20s.
You are correct. They were, and many of them, I think, were geniuses, if you think about it.
Okay, and Madison, now look what we Jefferson. Got, a bunch of morons.
Well, by the way, speaking of morons, I think there's a job availability for mayor in Seattle. I think you'd be damn good at it.
Paul, what? Like I said, you know, these people voted these people in, right?
Yeah.
Let them handle their problem. And you know what? The minute that city falls apart, we just go in and take it over.
Isn't that almost scary funny that they would allow, like, what was it, a 6 or 8 square block of downtown Seattle to be totally overrun and allowed to become independent from the rest of the city with no protection of police and no real administration of the mayor? And these people wander in there and they set up barriers. Did you see any of that?
Yes, I sit there and watch. Like I said, Paul.
Isn't this like a movie with Charlton Heston where he's running around? You remember that movie, what was it, about the food, you know? I can't remember the doggone name of it, made in the 70s. Anyway, it was chaos in the city.
So what do you think is going to happen there, Paul? Listen, these people, they are not survivors, okay? They've been living in basements for years being taken care of by their parents. Without food coming in, without water, without any sanitary supplies, what's going to happen?
Yeah. By the way,
I would let them rot, Paul, just like an apple under a tree when it falls. Well, I'd let it rot.
In fact, that may be what plays out. By the way, the movie was Soylent Green. It was a good movie, too. And the place was up for grabs, you know. And you know what they started eating? They started eating these pellets made out of the corpses of dead people.
Well, they'll be able to eat the rats that they're going to bring into the place. But they're probably growing pretty big. All these people, they're a bunch of thugs, as Trump would say. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what they're even talking about. Please send us in. They're begging for people to bring them in vegan food. I just give me a freaking break. We need vegan food. I'd give him vegan food. I'd send him a head of lettuce. Here you go. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
treat them
I
like
do.
They need to be treated, Paul.
Now,
you know, the people in government today, they have no balls, period. None whatsoever.
Yeah. Now, Donald Trump is getting ready to hopefully get back out on the campaign circuit. Meanwhile, your buddy, Joe Biden, is still, I think he's chained himself to his the cement wall in the basement. He didn't want to come out because he would then be forced to answer questions. And
he did answer a question. He did say something yesterday. He said he knows that if he wins or when he wins, that he's going to have the military remove Trump from the White House.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, there you go. So this is the kind of logic you're getting from this guy. I don't know.
Logic. How can you even call it logic? Okay? You got Biden. He talks like a fool, the poor guy. He has no idea what he's even muttering out of his mouth. You got Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of the Democrats with all their slave garb on the other day, kneeling down. Okay? They didn't even realize that the garb that they had on was from a slave city or something back in Africa that used to sell slaves to the people.
Yeah, they were wearing those scarves that reminded me of the series Roots, way, way back. Remember the series Roots?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Yeah.
And it was a good program. I watched the whole thing. I thought it was good.
Oh,
it was enjoyable.
Well,
a lot of history, Paul,
was,
which people are trying to erase, you know?
Now that
you're taking down the statues.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Exactly. And now that is a very big topic. I was watching, as I do from time to time, I was watching that C-SPAN with the call-ins, and they try to balance it with people back and forth. But the topic was taking down these monuments. And, you know, it's interesting. Where does it stop? First of all, you'll have to start taking down monuments and pictures of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, founding fathers and presidents, because they indeed did own slaves. Why stop with them? We got to take down the Columbus statue. What about Columbus Circle in New York?
Let me tell you something. If this was the 70s in Brooklyn and they tried to take down Christopher Columbus, you know what would have happened to them?
The mafia.
They would have killed him.
Yes.
They would have killed him. Believe me, they wouldn't have stood a chance.
The mafia would not allow it.
You don't hear the Italians all crying about this, do you?
No.
You know, Paul, we've been talking about this race crap and this race crap. I think it's time we need to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay?
We got to come together.
I think we need to start talking. I'm not even worried about that anymore. Freak this coming together. Freak talking about the riots and this race stuff, because all that's doing is make everything going in turmoil. I think we need to start talking about the candidates that are running around here.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And need to find out what's going on, because, you know, in a few months, we got these elections coming up. A very important election in here in District 13, right in Clearwater, there is Charlie Crist. We need to get rid of that sucker, okay? And I need to think we need to talk to the people that are going to be the Republican candidates trying to run against him and get them out there so we can get rid of this guy.
And
he's enemy number one.
And Andrew actually has access to a lot of politicians. He's very well connected. I'm not kidding you.
I am working on right now. I'd like to get Amanda Mackey, Anna Paulina Luna, and George Buck on this show and hear what they got to say about beating Charlie Crist. How'd you like to do that
one? We would love it. Absolutely love
it. We're working on that. I started on that this morning. Yeah. I want to get them on here because I'm more concerned about what's going on now, Paul, locally. And if we're going to fight this war, we're talking about racism. Listen, it's been around for how many thousands of years now since they came over here. This racism has got to stop. I believe if you stop talking about it, it'll go away, to be honest with you. I'm tired of hearing about the police with their right. Let me tell you something. Go do the job of a policeman out there today.
Oh, my God.
They're worried about them beating up somebody. Let me tell you something. You see these people on fentanyl, all these crazy drugs going crazy. Let me tell you. They get on these drugs, their adrenaline goes nuts. They attack the policeman and the poor cop. Oh, he shot him. You know, come on. This has got to stop.
Yeah.
Until they go out there and do the policeman's job to see what the hell is going on out there today in the public, they got no right to talk about nothing, Paul.
Right. And now Hollywood, they're going to be eliminating a program called Cops, which has been on for almost over 20 years, I think, and it was real-life action. The camera would follow these police, and I mean, you really had respect for the police when you would watch that stuff to see what they would deal with the drugs and the
domestic
violence.
No, this is what I'm saying. Well, it's a war.
They're
going to
pull the program.
They're
going to pull.
That's right. Look at, they took Elmer Fudd's gun away.
Yeah, that's another thing. Elmer needs the gun. I mean, come on. I always root for Elmer. Elmer and Yosemite Sam, they got a bad deal. Go ahead.
You watch the old cartoons like Elmer Fudd, he'd be chasing Daffy Duck around and blow the feathers off of Daffy Duck's rear end, okay?
Yes, yes.
Now they're pulling that away.
Yes.
And look at these video games they got for these kids. They're blowing people's heads off with AR-15s, blood all over the place.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, this got to stop, Paul.
If Hollywood can make a buck, believe me, as much violence as they can get in there between the beginning and end, they will do. No question about that.
Well, let me tell you something. You want to do this country a favor? Boycott Hollywood, boycott the NFL, boycott NASCAR, because they're all bowing down in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They're all bowing down. We need to put them out of business.
You know, I wanted to touch, just before we finish, about this, and I think you did touch on it, and I think you're saying it in so many words, and we've said it on this show. The idea of grouping people against each other. Now, that is the mantra, in my opinion, of the Democratic Party. They will group. Right now, they're grouping black against white, correct? But remember when they were grouping women against men during the Neil Kavanaugh hearings, as an example? Gay versus straight. This is the flame of that Democrats feed off of, in my opinion. It's
and you know, Paul,
it's a divide.
They're only working with what, maybe 20% of the population, and they're creating this.
Yeah,
you think about it. Your blacks are what, 13% of the population in this country,
mm-hmm.
right?
About
and
so,
you figure
yes.
the gays and the LGBTs and this group and that group and whatever group. You're working with 20% of the people that you are sitting there pacifying. Meanwhile, the 80% of the people that are working hard trying to build this country and make it go forward are being ignored.
That's exactly right. And again, the thought is the grouping of people, and even male versus female, right? The grouping of people is what separates us. Don't Don't group and then, you know, put me against somebody else that's a little different than me. I mean, that to me is what these Democrats are feeding off of. I think it's very, very, oh, it's horrible. It's destructive, very destructive.
You know, Paul, I think, in my opinion, they can call me whatever they want. We need to bring back the purpose of the male in the world and the purpose of the female in the world.
You know who will back you up on that?
Nobody.
The Harry Potter. No. The author who is a female of Harry Potter. Did you know?
Oh.
Did you know that she is? She stood up and says, "I don't." In so many words, she said, "Come on, everybody really knows what's going on here. Sex should be between a man and a woman. It's the only normal and natural thing." She came out and said that. And she has a lot of fans. I took a lot of courage for her to say that.
Well, you know, Paul, I didn't even say the word sex. I said the role of the man and the woman. Because today,
well, yeah,
sex could be with anything. Well, you gave it with a dog and it's okay.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
But
that's not what I'm saying. The roles of a man.
Yeah.
You know, if
yes,
you look at the lions, right, what they do, the animals.
Yeah.
They don't even have a brain. They have instinct. And look at how the male will protect the family and the female.
Yeah, but you picked the wrong animal. It's the female that does the hunting while the male.
That's with the lions.
That's the lions. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But the male is still there to protect the brood.
Yes.
You know, and we have our purposes in this world.
No, you're right.
And I think if we need to go back to basics here a little bit, and this whole world would calm down.
Yeah,
but it's like you said, they put these groups against each other.
Yeah, group people.
And they're doing it with 20%, with only 20% of the population. Look what they're able to do.
Yeah,
and the other 80% don't do anything about it.
It's crazy. I think you're right. I think we got to settle down. I think we got to take a deep breath. I mean, come on. Let's we're all on this planet. We got to figure something out here. The main thing is liberty, and just my rights end where your nose begins. That kind of thing. You know, kind of go back to being nice about it. Oh
yeah,
well.
I mean, look at, you're taking down our statues. We may as well celebrate the 4th of July anymore.
Yeah.
We may as well celebrate Memorial Day anymore. We shouldn't celebrate Veterans Day. What is wrong with these people?
Those that forget their history are condemned to repeat it. You've heard that one.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? They're going to repeat it again.
Yeah.
But it's like I tell everybody. I says, you know, these people are afraid of 100,000 people dying with a coronavirus. What the hell are they going to do? 650,000 people died during the Civil War.
That's right.
Okay? Well, I got news for you. If it happens this time, it's going to be a lot more than 650,000. That should scare the crap out of the people.
Yeah, God forbid. Andrew, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure. You bring such energy and always give it a lot of thought. So we'll be talking with you again on Tuesday. And in the meantime, have a great weekend.
You got it, Paul. You take care, buddy.
Thank you, sir. All right. Andrew, the Master Barber. We're going to take our final break when we come back. Among other things, the top 10 greatest horror films of all time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back. You gotta thank Big Ed. He always comes up with these great songs. Ed, I don't know where you're getting them. I appreciate it very much. You know, if you you men that are bald are a little more at risk, would you know, would you believe it? A higher risk, apparently, of suffering symptoms from the coronavirus. Here's what Professor Carlos Wambler of Brown University has said. We really think that baldness is a perfect predictor of severity of the virus. And he talks about the link emerged during studies trying to show why men suffer worse from COVID-19 than women. Scientists now believe that androgens, male sex hormones like testosterone, may boost the ability of the coronavirus to attack cells. The same androgens also are understood to be behind baldness, making it a signal of vulnerability to the disease. And one other thing, did you read, Ed, where if you are type O blood, that you have an 18 to 20% less chance of getting the virus than if you are another blood type?
It's always something.
I know. Yeah. Typo.
You don't know what to believe, though.
I don't know what to believe anymore about it. You got to be careful. It seems to me that as I'm walking, you know, going to the store and everything, it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, but I think people are easing back in. I think the number of people wearing these face coverings probably is maintaining. I don't know.
Yeah, I talked about it this morning. I'm still seeing a lot of people in the stores with face masks on, but I'm seeing a total disregard for it in the younger crowd.
Yes.
They are just acting like there's, you know, nothing going on.
Like nothing's going on. Yeah.
There's no social distancing. I see them crammed in cars and boats and restaurants and, you know, or out in front of restaurants or whatever. So
I know, but you know, that's the ignorance of youth sometimes. Yeah. I mean, what I would do if I was.
I think we're going to be wearing masks till Christmas before anybody's comfortable.
You think so?
You know, and with the convention being moved to Jacksonville, that everybody that goes there is going to have to sign a waiver saying that they're not going to hold, you know, the parent company, you know, if they were to get the virus or whatever. Why not do that with the NFL stadiums? Open them up, have people sign waivers.
What about the Trump rallies? Do you think people will show up with, like, Make America Great face masks and things like that? Will they space them out? What do you think?
I'm just worried about the instigators coming and showing up to that because they're very passionate with their, you know, Make America Great, you know, garb and stuff. And then,
you think this is kind of a bad time for Trump to do a rally or what?
I don't know. I mean, you know, November's a while out, you know.
But he's thinking of starting to do rallies again.
Yeah.
Rallies are going to the rallies.
I don't think any more than usual. I don't think any more than usual.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you have to remember there will be a clash if they do that. I'm sorry. If they show up the way they show up looting cities and stuff, there's going to be a clash.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, my friend. It is time for us to do. I think this is, you know, as a kid, I loved horror movies. I don't know what it is about the psychology, but you go to a horror movie because you know you're going to be scared. And why do you want to be scared? You know, and when you're a kid, you start turning away from the screen. I mean, it's just, it's one of those deals. that it's like you're attracted, but at the same time you're scared. Very, very interesting. Okay, I guess it's like getting on a roller coaster. Anyway, here we go. These, Ed, are the top 10 greatest horror movies according to Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes is well known. And we'll give you not only the name of the movie, but we're going to give you its rating, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Number 10. Frankenstein, the original, 1931, Boris Karloff. It got a 100% rating.
Did that scare you in the theater when that came out?
Don't start with me. You know, the very first pictures I ever, seriously, I ever saw were photographs in my dad's book. I'm not kidding. I still remember, and I thought, what a strange-looking guy this was. I was about 6 or 7 years old. Okay. Number 9. The Babadook. Did you ever hear of that movie? It was made in 2014, and it got a 98% rating. I don't know the movie. Okay, number 8. Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you see it? Yep. Did it scare you? It was scary.
That's all right. They made two after that, didn't they? Psycho 2 and then 3.
Yeah, but we're talking about the original 1960 Alfred Hitchcock.
The black and white one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Number 7. Hey, another Frankenstein movie, The Bride of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And no, I didn't see it as a kid in the theater. 1935, it also got 100% rating. All right, number 6. King Kong. Ever see that on TV?
The original?
Yeah. The 1933.
No, you didn't see the movie? Well, no.
Bits and pieces. Gotta see it, Ed. It's well worth it. It was. Today we laugh. They were probably.
No, the newest one, I think a couple of years ago, came out. It's called Skull Island.
Yes.
Very good movie.
Yes.
It's not the traditional Empire State thing.
Yeah.
It's not the Empire State building.
Did they climb on the Empire State building?
No. No.
But it was good.
It was good.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the 1933 one. All right. Number 5. A Quiet Place. Are you familiar with that one?
I think so.
It was 2018. Got a 95%. I don't know the movie, so I can't tell
you. Yeah, they have to go in the woods and they have to be quiet or these things come out and get them or something.
Oh, kinky. All right, number 4. And I wasn't around for this one either, but Nosferatu.
No.
It was one of the original vampire movies. It was a silent film, 1922, 97%. Number 3. Get Out, 2017. Did you see that, Ed?
No.
Get Out, 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Number 2. Ed, you fell off the drums and you had to get back up
there.
The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari is number 2. It was made in 1920 when you were just a kid, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
100% Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. Mm. Here we go. The number 1 greatest horror movie of all time.
I'm going to say a couple of years ago, I think it was the movie Us.
You looked at this. You are such a... He's a stinker. He looked, okay? He doesn't normally know.
One of the advantages of printing out your paperwork.
He printed out my paperwork.
Just taking a little peek.
You are correct. It was called Us. Did you see it?
I did, but it was boring.
Really?
Yeah. It was just really... In fact, I believe that's the horror movie with all black actors.
Okay.
And they did it because black actors don't like to do horror movies or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't know. It was funny, but it was just kind of dumb.
It was kind of a dark humor.
I might watch it again.
93% rating. All right. Hey, we're going to be back on Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, freedom works.
Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Stocks rebound, cases rising. I'm Mike Moss. A roller coaster feel on Wall Street, where stocks today are rising after the massive decline yesterday. Business correspondent Christine Romans reports many businesses are still feeling a sharp drag.
You have this split screen where you have such optimism.